97.9 The Box is the Mad Hatter.
Have a morning show.
So look, they got my whole crew divided. J-Mac and Jazz over there. Jimbo all the way in the back. They just moved the white guy all the way to the back. Said he can't
What's
participate.
What's up, Jim?
And then,
hey, Jim, can you hear us?
Hear us? What up, Snoop?
Hey.
And then, Zacharias, you want to introduce your whole crew that you got here for the play? I want to do it like that, if you don't mind.
Absolutely,
sir.
Absolutely. Well, right here to my left is the one and only Snoop D-O-double-G.
Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg.
Hey, Sal, what it do? Wake your monkey ass up.
And further to my left, you got the fantastic, fabulous Miss Tamar Braxton.
Looking extraordinary this morning. If y'all could just see through this radio, Lord have mercy. Jesus. Butterscotch.
He said butterscotch. I told her, you like it with the haircut, bro?
I love that. That is so African Nubian queen. I mean, she's so strong looking and... Oh, my goodness, I cannot believe it. Wakanda forever.
The glory that I got all over me. That's what that is.
Now, Zacharias, how were you able to put all these incredible people together? How did you convince Snoop to even do a play, first of all? And then I need to know, and I can ask Snoop this, is the play roughly based on his life?
Yeah,
but let's start with you
Snoop
first.
That.
But let me start with you first.
So Snoop and I met at Set It Off.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they Set It Off in L.A., and he was front and center, you know, having a blast. And I came backstage. We got a chance to rap. And then I went to his compound the next day. Well, he threw a party. Like, this is when I knew his work ethic was ridiculous, because we went to the play. He threw an after party. The damn party never ended. It just kind of, I just went in. He has this room with all of these, like, massage chairs and all. I just remember falling, waking up. I don't remember falling asleep. Right. I just remember waking up. And then a few hours later, we were in a meeting rapping about doing this project together, know, and that's how it happened really, really fast. And like I say, Snoop is an incredible guy, an icon, and to see Set It Off and feel that what he saw on the stage, that, you know, he wanted me to bring that kind of magic to something that he wanted to do. I was just honored and blessed to be in business with him.
Now, Zacharias, did you know that you wanted to do the play with Snoop, or did Snoop come to you and say, I got an idea for a play?
Well, I think Snoop had an idea. Mm-hmm. So I think what I am is kind of a vessel to help him realize, you know, an idea that he had. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he has a very interesting journey. I mean, gangster rap to gospel. You know, and it's a very challenging task to encompass all of that. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure we have successfully done it in an amazing way. So, you know, he had an idea, and again, I was just the guy that he chose to fully realize that idea and do something very different than what he had done in the past.
Snoop, is this roughly based on your life?
A lot of it is personal, and a lot of it is just general, meaning that a lot of it is my, a lot of it is yours, because it's based off of, you know, general relationships, general love, general life, and things that we go through, whether you're successful or not. It just so happens to be that I'm successful, so I laid a little bit of my life in there because I felt like it was necessary. I felt like you should understand the intricacies of me and my wife, what I go through behind the scenes, what you don't see, the backbone, the strength, you know what I'm saying, the one that matters the most. And then I have an angel in my life that looks after me, that, you know, protects me and, you know, makes sure that I'm good. That's the role that Tamar plays. So we got this thing broken down into a real feeling, the way it really feels like my life. And it's crazy because I'm reading the script and falling in love with the lines, and I'm like really stepping back looking like, this is a great piece of work that Zacharias wrote. Yeah. He wrote the hell out of this. I mean, it is written professionally from the paper. You could feel it from when I was sitting down at the table to standing up on stage doing it. I can't wait to see what it look like. I'm mad I'm in it because I don't get to watch it.
That's real.
I like that. So how did you then decide, Mr. Johnson, how are you going to get all these other players to piece around Snoop Dogg? Because this is a person, you know, it's hard to cast, you know, who going to roll with Snoop Dogg in the story, mm-hmm, and be able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, Snoop and I discussed a lot of it. And with Tamar, I had a wonderful meeting with Tamar at the Bel Air,
Beverly Hills
Hotel, at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and we just you know, gelled right out the gate. I mean, we had a great, great time, and she's just such a beautiful and wonderful person. And so we just agreed at that moment, we want to be in business together right away. And so we jumped in, and this was the project, right? This was the one that was there right now. And
I told him to get her.
Yeah,
he did. Get her.
Yeah, he did. He was like, get her.
You better not let out that room till you got her.
So, Snoop, what was it about Tamar that you had to have?
She is the S-H-I-Z-N-I-T. The shiznit. Point blank. She can sing. I love her personality. I love her spirit. She's jubilant. She's just like me. Like, I'm like her. Like, we fun. Like, when people was asking in the beginning, how y'all going to work together? How's it going to work? I'm like, she's just like me. We both full of fun. We love to be the life of the party, and we love to entertain. So it's like, it's a great energy when we on stage together, as far as like when we're not working and when we are working. It's becoming a brother-sister relationship that I never had a sister in my life. I grew up around all boys. So this is like the first sister that I'm actually, other than Rage, that I had that's like a sister to me. And it's like, it's becoming that because we depend on each other on stage.
Why'd they think that it was going to be a problem between y'all two? They no one could see chemistry or...
I don't know. You know how black folks think.
I mean, I think that, you know, I'm also slick. You know what I'm saying? And I think people turn that into a bad personality, and that's not what that means. It just means that, you know, your mouth's slick, you have a good time, and it's, I think, misinterpreted sometimes.
I think you think people think, oh, she's so much of a diva.
I am not. I wish I was.
She is not a diva.
Not at all.
I thought in my mind, the way they perceived her and put her perception out there, I thought she was going to come as a diva. I ain't seen a diva yet, but she's looking like a diva today.
Morning, yeah.
I'm not going to say she don't look like a diva, but she ain't been acting like one.
Oh, no.
I've been more of the diva. You
know? I can't.
Snoop, how are you able, you've been able to survive so many years, and it seems that you can do whatever you want to do. You can say what you want. Many artists can't say what they want to say, and there's a price to pay if they say it.
Right.
You can say whatever you want to say while smoking weed, can say something about white folks, can say something about politics, and then you can still drop a gospel record, flip it, and still
That's
come
crazy.
Back and do some gangster, whatever, whatever, whatever. Do movies, do TV, and everybody still loves Snoop Dogg. Democratic, Republican, white, black, Asian, Hispanic. How is it a plan? You know, that's really, I'm like, how is he able to get away with doing so much? He can do whatever, because every artist can't do what you do, Snoop. They can't say what they want to say. Like I said before, there's a price to pay for a lot of artists.
True.
So why are you this gifted to be able to move between all these worlds?
I don't think it's a remedy or a script to it or anything. I just think it's truth. I stand on top of truth. Mm-hmm. And I believe that God uses me. I'm one of the people that he uses. You don't get this power based off of waking up, doing push-ups, or reading a book. This is an intervention. This is something that I'm being chosen to do. And I'm given the ability to use my talents and my light to shine to bring different scenarios to the light. And everything that I do, I feel good about it because I don't ever plan it. So I know that it's God's plan. So I'm just rocking and rolling with it. And I can't tell you, look, you got to go eat this or do this, and this is how success comes, and this is how you last long, and you got to... I don't got no plan. I don't got no script.
Right.
I'm spontaneous. I'm on the spot. I'm ad-libbing as I go.
So there's no plan. You don't... And is there ever the idea that you may not be able to get away with something?
Man, if it feel good to me, it must be good for me.
Yeah. No, that's real. He lives by that. That's real.
And Tamar, that's almost the same for you. You do and say... You're another person. You do and say what you want to say all the time. And usually there's a price to pay for the individuals that do and say what they want to do. Like you said, some people might have... Tamar's a diva. Or you, Snoop Dogg is this. But, you know, some people, they're able to still move in different worlds no matter what.
Well, you know, the proof is in the pudding. You know what I mean? Like, you can say whatever you want and stand by, you know, whatever that comes out of your mouth. And I agree that you should stand by what comes out
right.
of your mouth.
Right.
But, you know, it's the work ethic that's behind it. You know what I mean? Why would you be a slick talker? Or why would you be a person... who is always in the news with something that you say,
mm-hmm.
and your work is not, right. you know, equated to that.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. You might as well get out there and work and say what you want to say.
Mm.
My granny told me before she passed away, she said, let your work speak for you.
Come on, somebody.
Because sometimes you can't blow your own horn, and you can't explain what you're doing. Let your work speak. And that's all I think of as far as when I think of her voice in my head as far as, like, just keep doing the work. Just keep doing the work. The work, that's all that's going to matter at the end of the day. Not none of that other stuff. Just do the work. And sometimes the work is to speak for the people who are voiceless, who can't say what I need to say or say what they want to say. You know, I fight the system because the system was designed to break us down. And I feel like I'm the sacrificial lamb. So if anybody got the most to lose, let me go ahead and lose it. Because guess what? I started from nothing. So if I go back to nothing, it's nothing.
That's poetry right there.
Now, let me ask this too, Snoop, because you, how do I put this? You not touchable, but you still come across every day. Look, we know that Snoop Dogg is wealthy, but you still come across as a regular guy to people. You know, sometimes we take certain artists and we put them here. It's like we put you there, but we know we can see Snoop Dogg walking down the street like, oh, snap, that's Snoop. I'm going to go say what's up to him.
Right.
We feel like we can still touch him. You understand what I'm saying?
That's how
everybody doesn't have that,
though. Like when I first became famous, I used to go up to people that was famous and, like, I guess they call it groupied out. But I would go up to, if it was the OJs, if it was Curtis Mayfield, if it was whoever it was that I loved, I would run up to him. I remember when I met B.B. King for the first time, I was like, man, B.B. King, man, I love you. I can't believe I met you. The nigga looked at me and was like, I don't know if I can say this on the radio.
Say it.
And they said, Snoop Dogg. He said, let me ask you something. I said, what's happening, B.B.? He said, you think you get more pussy than me? And it blew my mind that B.B. King said this to me. And I was like, damn. I said, no, B.B., I ain't been here that long. It was crazy that he asked me that question, but it was like, okay, by me having heart to go speak to this man.
And humble yourself.
He broke his wall enough to be personal with me.
Yeah.
And not like, oh, let's take a picture and get out of here. Because I've always been that way. So when I felt like, if I was doing that, so when fans come up to me, it used to be a lot of times when security would push him out the way. I'd be like, he ain't doing no pictures. And I'd be like, hold on, man. Come here, man. Let me get that for you. Don't be mean to my fans, man. Yeah. We don't do that, man. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, like I was in Dallas, it was like 6 fans. Them boys did not leave. They came. I'm like, how did y'all know I was here? I was kind of mad, right? Like, you know what? Okay, cool. I'm going to sign that when I get down. I came down. I'm late. I'm going to get it when I get back. They still there. Signed it, came back. They brought me gifts and souvenirs. And it was like, you know what? I need to appreciate this.
Mm. Mm.
Let me stop being caught up in the moment, being mad at the fact that these people are standing out here. They love me.
Yeah.
And they appreciate me. Let me get them that back. Because it's a moment. Snoop Dogg has always been touchable. He's never been untouchable. So I can't be that way now. I got to stay who I am.
Is that crazy to you, though? Is it ever crazy to
it's
you?
It's crazy that the fans be knowing where I'm at. That's like my security don't be knowing where we stand at. We be riding in the car. Where the hotel at? I don't know. It's about 15 minutes and we get there. 7 fans out there. Like, how did y'all know? You know what? I'm going to hire y'all. You work for me. You work for me. You work for me.
Are you ever surprised that you still can do what you want to do, still do what you love to do after all this time? Because now, you know, you've turned into the OG that all the young cats come to for advice.
That's crazy that I'm Uncle Snoop now. I'm on Lil Wayne's album. I'm on Young Thug's album.
Oh, I love that track with the Wayne. My God.
Be calling me on the last second like, Unc, I got an album coming out in 4 days. Can you get in the studio? I need some. I'm like, all right, nephew. I jot it down real fast. Send it back. You cool with it? Oh, thanks, Unc. Then it comes out and everybody be like, man, this is a bomb-ass song. I'm like, do you realize how much pressure I was under to make this record? And I'm trying to still stay fly because this is a young man's game.
Right.
I'm 46 years old rapping with 21, 22-year-old rappers. Mm. I'm like, I don't want to be grandpa, but I still got to remain fly at the same time. Because some artists can grow gracefully. And that's what I want to do. I want to grow gracefully to where, like Charlie Wilson, when I look at Charlie, I'm like, he sound good, he look good, he feel good, and he got a great spirit. That's what I want to emulate.
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, you got the number one song.
Yeah. Is there a retirement age? My God, how about that? Is that cool or what? First you got a comedian on it, and then you got this legend on the track. That's incredible, too.
Comedian song.
Yeah.
He sent it to me. He was like, Unc, I want you to get on the song. I said, nigga, this is a hit. He said, it's a hit. I said, it's a hit, because even before I get on it, it's a hit. But I said, when I get on it, it's really a hit.
Do you ever look at it saying that you have a time limit on, because you know every rapper's gone through the I gotta retire, because we ain't really used to what's next for us. You know what I'm saying? When we was growing up, mama and daddy, they had their artists. They get to an age where, you know, they got to retire, something like that. Y'all the first generation of this, or right. kind of like the second generation, but the first successful generation of hip hop. And everybody tries to usually retire other artists. I never really ever hear your name mentioned, Snoop.
I like to use, for an example, like Will Smith,
yeah,
Ice Cube. These guys was rappers first.
Yes, sir.
But you forgot that. Because they put their other business on top of that. Like, you don't have to just stay in one lane. I'm a rapper, but that ain't all I do. This play that we bring into the stage is going to illustrate the fact that I'm more than a rapper. And it's going to bring talents and gifts that I've been holding on to for a long time that I'm actually able to exercise with great co-stars like Tamar and great people like Omar Gooding, Eric Benet, to be able to work alongside people that aren't in my world, but we're going to come into their world and we're going to work together. And it just shows that you can do things when you got the right mind state.
Was there any fear in doing this? Because a play is something different. It's a different animal than a movie and all that kind of stuff. It requires a different type of work ethic as well.
No, because this spirit, a spirit of God is on this play. This ain't no regular play. It's gangster as hell, though. Don't get it mixed. It's super gangster, but it got the spirit of God all on it. And it's like, you have to come see it. I can't even explain it to you. It's so good. Everybody's parts is so good. Everybody is so key. When you watch this play, you understand that this may be your life. You may have to look at this and say, you know what? I may need to reevaluate my life and make better decisions or move a little bit differently. Because it's really a mirror of who we should be as better people.
And Tamar, same for you too. When you look at the play, was there a little, you know, as soon as the carriage throws out there that Snoop Dogg going to be in this play, is there a second where you go,
No, I was instantly sold.
Yeah. Why?
Well, first of all, you know, just to piggyback kind of off of what Snoop said, like, people put you in a box, and you can allow people to keep you in a box, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look at a talented person and understand that talent is everything. You know what I mean? It's acting, it's singing, it's rapping, it's cooking. He does all of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I like to say that I do too. So, like, at the end of the day, I'm such a huge fan, right? Not just of him, but his wife and his kids are amazing. And it just felt like the right thing to do. Do you know what I mean? At the time, it's like, even in my career, I just felt like I'm hitting the reset button. In my life, I'm hitting the reset button. I started off doing a play like at the beginning of my career, and it just so happened right now I'm doing a play again as I hit the reset button.
How is that a problem? Is it obstacles? Is it trepidation? What is it? And how much of you is going into the play? How much of it does it relate to the character?
Listen, 1,000% of me is in this play. You can't help but to pour your whole spirit into it because it is so spirit led. You know what I mean? It kind of sucks the spirit out of you because it's so amazing. And I'm not just saying it because I'm a part of it. If I would have said no to this, it probably would have been the biggest mistake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that I've ever made. Because on the search of who I really am as an individual has been tough for me because I've always been associated as someone else's other or plus one. Mm-hmm. I'm Tony's little sister. Mm. I'm Vincent Herbert's wife. Mm. And now it's like I've come out of the box of being Tony's sister because I've worked so hard. So now I'm Tamar.
Yeah.
And so now that I'm going through a divorce, now I'm not Vincent Herbert's wife. Mm. So now I'm just Tamar. Mm. And so this play allows me to reconnect with my spirit and be comfortable with who I am because I've been on the search for that. So here it is.
Mr. John, how hard was it to get all them on the set to get on one accord to start acting out these different roles that you wrote for these folks?
Man, you know, it wasn't hard at all. I mean, everybody came ready to work. They're incredible people. We're all family at this point, and you know, they're just amazing, dude. And like I said, this play is transforming our own lives, so we know what it's going to do to the people who see it and the way in which we're going to touch you. I've done a lot of plays.
You have.
And you know, I try to get better and better every time, but this one is just so anointed, so special, you know, so secular and spiritual at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's the perfect blend.
Saints and sinners.
It is. And you can't, you know, there's no, we could not have gotten here but the grace of God, and we could not have gotten here without the talent that we have that represent both worlds, right? Yes. Represent what it means to be a person of faith, but represents also the reality of the world and how it functions and exists. So this play, man, I'm going to say it's going down as the greatest ever.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Ever seen.
Jakars, when you go to folks and you first tell them that, you know, I got Snoop Dogg in a play, I'm just curious as to all, because when we first got like Snoop Dogg in a play, I immediately was here for it, because I say, we're going to get some good entertainment.
Yeah.
Either way it goes, there's not a lose for me.
Yeah,
that's a win for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I've watched this guy my whole life, so I know I'm getting something out. Then when you find that Tamar's going to be a part of it too, I'm like, I don't lose on this.
Yeah.
I absolutely don't lose. But when you first bring this up to people, you know, that has, be honest, there's some people that are like, hey, man. You
it
know,
was a shock.
Okay.
It was a shock. I mean, you know, I think.
We love Snoop, but.
Well, what they assume is Snoop is hip hop too, right? But he's more than hip hop. Yeah.
I agree.
And
with that.
And I think where they go wrong is to put him in the box of just hip hop. Because he's not just that, and they're going to see that. Hip-hop should come see this show, but so should the church. Mm. And so should, you know, the people on the street, and so should the politicians, and so should, you know, black, white, brown, Hispanic. You know, it's going to touch everyone. And really the apprehension that people had were those who were already judging before getting the chance to sample the product.
Mm.
And the product is not just the play. The product is the many facets of Snoop, the many facets of Tamar, the many talents of them. And so you can't see one side of somebody or one element and think you know them. Even if you think you do, won't you come check it out?
And find out.
Yeah.
How about that?
Exactly.
Catch me outside. How about that?
How about that? And so, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, the gospel side of this too. Snoop, I know you just did the gospel album.
Yes, sir.
What... Sometimes I just wonder, how does he wake up in the morning and say, you know what, tomorrow, doing a gospel album. And it comes out, it's successful, another success. Is there any fear in you of doing anything at all?
Doing the devil's work.
Run tell that. Okay.
I'm scared of that.
Nah. I mean, because you know, when you do the, when first, I know when you, again, here's another, when you mention it, right. Snoop Dogg is doing a gospel album. I know your partner's probably looking at, hey, Snoop Dogg.
I ran a lot of homies off when I said that. But I brought a lot of people around me that I needed to have around me. You like, when you mention God and you mention doing the right thing, whoever ain't right ain't going to be around you. And I needed that. You know what I'm saying? It didn't break my heart. It made me feel better that you didn't want to be around me when I was growing and changing and doing the betterment of me and trying to enlighten the world.
Yeah.
That project was about the world in general. It was so much negativity and so much violence, so many shootings and kids being killed, and it was just so much energy that was negative. I had to do it. I felt like my voice was necessary to do it, so I grabbed some of the greatest gospel singers in the world.
You did. The big ones. I'm like, how did he get him on this?
Because they looked at my spirit.
Yeah,
they didn't look at my music. They looked at the spirit. They said, man, this brother's been doing work since he's been in the game. The community work, the football league, all of the stuff that I do that I don't want cameras on.
Mm.
That really matters. And they was like, you know what? He's actually doing God's work. The last I checked, God's people were supposed to go to the streets and get them to come back home. Not just sit in church and be holy.
Still be kind of preaching all the cool, dog.
I'm telling you.
I'm just being real.
It is real, though.
It's a brainwash if you don't know, because they'll make you feel like if you don't go to church, if you don't do this, you're bad. No, hold on, homie. I'm pushing God's word more than you. Because when that building is closed, what are you doing? That's Sunday.
You judge.
I'm from Sunday to Sunday. I get out.
Right.
Now, don't judge me.
That's what's
brother,
brother Hatter, I was not judging. I was not
brother
judging.
Hatter, we like to see you behind the church, deacons and ushers.
Oh, and I got to mention, because I know you are always outspoken. This is what you got to love about Snoop. He's so outspoken. So, Brother Kanye, I saw you. I have to mention it. I got to mention it because he won't stay out the news, Snoop. I'm sorry, Tamar. He won't stay out the news.
We made up.
Between
but you see,
I
made
did.
Up.
That's what I'm about to say. That's
he
what,
had on
you
a
had your shirt on.
Shirt right, with right. a Make America Great Again hat on.
So I got to get it.
The message is getting across. It's halfway home.
Hold on, listen. Let's hear him out.
Look, from the neck down, he got it. He just needed a checkup from the neck up.
So, do you really forgive him? Even I saw the caption said forgiveness is key. Do you really forgive Kanye?
I don't hate Kanye West. I don't know why people thought I hated him. I hate the fact that he's being brainwashed and he's being used because he has so many people that love him, yeah. that follow him, and he could really taint the understanding. Mm. You understand what I mean? Because when we have that powerful position, people believe in us and they follow us. If I just decided to say one day, I hate these people and I want to do this, it's a million people that's going to follow Snoop Dogg just because he said it.
Yeah.
Whether he right or wrong.
Yep.
But if I make conscious decisions and do things the right way, it's going to be a million people that's going to think and be conscious. We have to understand that. And it's not me being mad at him. It's me being mad at the system for using him and he not having smart people around him to see that. But now he back in Chicago around some, let me say this, niggas. So his game is starting to get reloaded and reshuffled because the Chicago people are like, nigga, what are you talking about? Slavery was a choice. Nigga, I slapped the shit out of him. You remember what our great-grandmama and all them went through? They shaking him up right now.
Right.
And then he getting the reality of, I can't say it, but his wife has a past. And it's catching up to her because you can't erase your past. So either you going to accept her for who she is in her past and keep it moving, because you can't keep pointing fingers at people saying stuff because it's a big past, man. You know. It go on and on and on.
Well,
you
know, not big.
You got to know how to choose. When you pick
just
that
the
one and put, when you put that one right here, it ain't supposed to be no more than one or two. It can't be no 45, 50. And you're running into them at the club, at church, at the grocery store.
Okay, Snoop. Okay, Snoop.
That's an executive decision that you
okay,
must make.
Okay, Snoop.
So right there.
Okay, Snoop.
And that's why we all need redemption.
Okay. Yes, dog.
Redemption of a dog.
Coming to you.
You got to know the real men, baby. You got to know when the real men. You got to know when the real men.
I have not heard him say anything that nobody really wants to say, that don't have the guts to say it. So I'm just saying. I mean,
Snoop, you can be hurtful sometimes, bro. That was hurtful, man.
That's the truth, man. I told you, I stand on truth.
Right.
That's why I am I am. I'm here. I mean, if I had bad vibes, you know, I have to stand on it, man. I've done some bad things in my life,
yes,
and
sir.
I take it on the chin. You know what I'm saying? I take my losses like I take my wins. I'm not here to bash nobody or throw no rocks at no glass house.
Okay.
I'm just saying in general. I'm just speaking in general. Like I said, I love that man, Kanye West. I love his music. We got records together. He wrote a song for me in the past, so it's not personal, it's business.
Mm.
Because he's in the way of business right now. So it's got to get personal.
So, which now brings me to Trump, because I know that in the past, you are...
You got a lot of supporters out here, huh?
Wait a minute. I know we in Texas, Snoop Dogg.
I'm just saying.
We in Texas. I get that.
You know what?
Don't
say that, baby girl, because I was in the room one time, right, with about 10 people, and I just swore up and down everybody was against Trump, and it was somebody just stood up and was like, I'm really with him. I'm like, nigga, who?
You?
Like, man, he's saying all the right stuff. He's saying what? Like, it's like that. You don't understand. Some people's mentality is different than yours. And maybe somebody in here right now that's secretly saying, I kind of like.
Who?
Point him out.
What up, Jill? Oh,
don't pick on the white guy like that, man. I think it's a black person. I ain't talking about the white guy.
Now, how do you feel about Trump? Because I know you've had dealings with him in the past, and you know
he was cool in the past. He gave me a whole lot of money to talk about him on his roast, right? So that's how I met him from that situation. A whole lot of money to talk about.
Really?
A whole lot of money.
Damn.
I had fun talking about him. But then when he got elected, I started to see him sway and change and become, you know, anti this and anti that. And a lot of the people that he hated was my friends and my family.
Is it game? Is he doing it just to get people to talk? Do you think these are really his beliefs?
You are who you are.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that is who that man is. It ain't no in-betweens. I mean, who wakes up at 4 in the morning to tweet LeBron James, Snoop Dogg, this person? He really is a troll. He's like, really?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on, man. Like, this is what he do. He had a show called, what was the show? He would fire people and all
Bridges.
This guy is really that guy, man. Mm. His mom and daddy is what? KKK. Right?
Okay.
Right or wrong? Oof.
You're hitting
them
with facts.
Let's keep it 100.
Okay, it's hard. A lot of people are having a hard time with these
truths.
My
daddy is a Vietnam vet, and my mama was a nurse, a cafeteria worker, all that other stuff. So that means I'm brought up with that upbringing. Now, if my mama was a Black Panther and my father was with the Nation of Islam, then I'd probably be a little bit different.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So take that into equation with your upbringing and your teachings and your what you were taught.
Mm-hmm.
You don't never lose that. You get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I was taught to love. I was taught to love. I was raised around people.
They didn't know they was going to get all this on the show.
That's why he's so infectious. You know what I mean? It's so amazing for somebody to really not give a damn, you know, and just say it because it needs to be said.
But everybody can't get away with it like I started saying in the beginning. And Snoop is able to do something even some of the artists on his level and those that come before him cannot get
because
away
they're afraid,
with it.
They're afraid to lose it. I don't care about losing it. That's the whole point.
But they still give it to you even though you say your truth. I find that to be absolutely fascinating.
Because it is the truth. If it
can't
was a lie, if
come
it was
on.
A lie, it wouldn't be nothing to talk about. It's facts. When you stand on facts, they can't argue with you. Mm-hmm. They got to say, damn, he right. He right.
So do you all think that the artists that do support Trump, we should cancel these artists out?
I don't say cancel them, but I say don't fuck with them.
Who are they? Have they talked about it, though?
I mean, we already canceled Kanye. I'm going to be honest. I've canceled him.
Snoop thinks Kanye coming back home.
He was one of my favorite artists. He is.
He's going to come back. No. He said he's surrounded by a new crew of people, Jazz. He'll be back.
He just was talking about the
There's an album to promote right now.
Amendment yesterday. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He's still lost, baby girl. You understand? He needs some real medication, and he needs some real intervention with some people that really love him. That don't love his money and love his fame, that really love him. I got people in my life that really love me. My wife, my kids, my mama. You know, his mother passed away too. So I take a lot of that into the equation that, you know, when you have a mother and you and your mother are so close and your mother gone, man, that's a blank spot. Mm. So he's searching for that right now. And I don't believe that where he is the comfort that his mother was giving him. And it allows him to do different things to test this and test that. And then it's you ain't taking all that. Like he said, he was on opioids and all that. I don't even know what that is, but for somebody to allow you to keep taking all that. Look at Prince and Michael Jackson. It ain't no accident that when you get to this certain part of success, they start offering you drugs that you just can't find everywhere.
Mm.
Like, that ain't no regular drug right there. Like, I can't just go down the street and say, cuz, give me an opioid. But when you successful like that, they getting dropped off. You know, he go, a bottle for you, homie. Then he like, man, I take opioids. Like, what? For what? What is that? We don't understand that in the hood. We don't know what an opioid is. I don't even know how to say it. But when you become right, successful, that's what that they offer to you.
Why hasn't it caught up with Snoop Dogg, though? Like, we never seen you go on a crazy rant. You ain't ran out in the middle of
the
street.
I smoke weed, cuz. I smoke weed. I don't drink alcohol. If I drink, I drink a nip or two for a special occasion. I don't do no accessory drugs, no. I ain't going to say what it is, but y'all know what it is. All the stuff that y'all do, I don't do all that. I'm trying to maintain. I'm trying to look good and feel good. And I understand when you do those drugs like that, they take you away. I look at some of the homies that is younger than me, and they look older than me because they doing stuff that's deteriorating their interior.
Yes, sir.
The inside, not the outside.
That's right.
I care about the inside, so I'm going to eat better, do better, and I'm going to put in what I want out. You know, you are what you smoke. That's why I'm dope.
Working out. I seen you working out.
Oh, you want to take my shirt off?
No.
Maybe I'm going to show you later. I'm going to take you to bed. Let you lift up one of these sleeves. I'm going to let you take off one of my sleeves, Jazz. I'm going to let you take off one of my sleeves.
You got a little something special for you later.
I'm going to get a half sleeve, Jazz. You get a half sleeve.
So what made you start working out?
My grandson.
Wiz Khalifa?
Wiz Khalifa was one, but then my grandson was two. I was playing with my grandson, and the little nigga wouldn't stop running. He just, come on, Grandpa. Come on, Grandpa. I'm like, cuz, I'm tired, cuz. I sat down, he picked me up, and I'm like, you know what? This is not fair to my grandson.
Yeah.
That I'm not in shape, that I can't play with him. I need to be outdoing him. So I said, let me start working out. So I started working out, and it became a habit. It became fun. It became addictive, and I started to do better and feel better. Then when I played with my grandson again, he quit. And I was like, all right, this is working. So, you know, I want that. I treasure that, man, to have a grandson and for him to depend on me to play with him and do stuff with him. I don't want to tell him no because I'm tired or I can't do it or you too heavy or this. I want to be that grandfather that's man, my grandpa is cool, man. He put me on his shoulders. He took me here. He did this. I want to be that grandfather, if that makes sense.
I'm glad you said that, because a lot of people, when they think they're getting older, they think that they're just supposed to die, get older and die. They ain't supposed to eat right and exercise and do all the right
things. Thank you. What does wine do, Tamar?
It ages.
What happened? Thank you. Say that. Say that.
That part.
Yeah.
Y'all making me want to be in this damn play.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's
we got a role for you. We need somebody to get shot as soon as it comes.
Somebody got to be the end that dies.
It's a horror movie. You need somebody to die for you.
No, you know what? I love having both of y'all here. I love, Snoop, your honesty.
Yes, sir.
And the way you've been able to do what you do with no apology. Because I think it gives other people hope, and it gives them, you know, I should try to be as fearless as Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Although I know there are those that are fearful to be like Snoop Dogg.
Just don't think about the consequences. Like, if you know you're right, why are you thinking about the consequences?
Because they want to get paid,
Snoop. I only think about consequences when I do something wrong.
They're going to say you do it because you rich, you can do that.
Nah, I do it because it's right. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it got to be. Let me take y'all on a journey real quick. I got to.
Wow.
Houston was the first place that actually paid Snoop Dogg to rap on stage. 1992, after Deep Cover came out. It was a place called the Box 99 Box. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was a dude named Tommy Bruno that flew me out here. And I only had one song, which was Deep Cover.
I remember Tommy.
And I was scared to perform because I only had one song and Dr. Dre didn't come with me. So when I get out here, they bring me to the radio station. I do an interview, and I'm getting love because people calling up here. So then when I go to the show, I'm nervous. So I get on stage. I only got one song, and I'm not even the whole song. It's me and Dr. Dre. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. So I end up doing a song, and they clap for me, and they like, do it again. I end up doing a song like 3 times that night. And the love that they gave me helped me to become a performer. Like, on stage. I had never been on stage before. So now for me to come back with my first theatrical, actual play debut.
Oh, I like the way that was.
Yeah.
That boy good. Yeah. That boy good right there, y'all. Look at God. Boy, you see.
If you was at that show.
The full circle.
You got to come to this show. And if you wasn't at that show, you still got to come to this show, because it's that same spirit. It's the spirit of Houston showing me love, giving me a platform to be who I am. And I trust Houston. That's why we came here for the first date, because we feel like this was always genuine to me. And Houston, I love you, and I want to see y'all there.
I don't think we should say anything else. I think that's the perfect, you know, I think that's the perfect way to end this.
I like the way your voice went in the daytime TV. We'll be back with more Mad Hatter.
No, really, Tamar, I want to get you back up here to host the show tomorrow.
Do that.
For real.
She need her own time.
Or at least.
Why are you putting me in her time zone? What's wrong with you?
Huh?
I'm acting like a manager now. What
Snoop, she told me you was late.
You tried it.
I try her all the time.
And what we never gonna do is go against each other, so don't even try to.
I had to check to make sure it was really fair.
Oh, it's real.
But you see what I did right now? You know how solid you really are. You should say, thank you. You know what I'm saying?
Had to thank you. You see what I'm saying? Had to lay the mouse. He laid the cards out.
I make sure that the family is really family.
Had to lay the cards on the table.
You see what I'm talking about him behind his back? Ever.
You don't have to say thanks, Snoop. Tamar, you don't have to say thank you. No, really, tell everybody once again why this show is important, why they need to be there, Tamar and Snoop. Let's do this.
Go ahead, ladies first.
Well, first of all, you need to come to the show, because if you missed the show, you've missed your life. You got to come get your life. I mean, that's just necessary. And it's something for everybody. You know, it's rap, it's singing. Snoop's doing a lot of his songs. There's a few of my songs that's in it. It's amazing talent. Eric Benet, I think, is he going to take his shirt off? I'm not sure. But something comparable to that, he's actually singing. But the acting is amazing. The message is amazing. And we all need something to relate to. And it touched me and my life. It touches everyone that sees the play. And that is actually in the play. And if you want to change your life, if you want a different perspective, if you don't know how, if you don't know why something is missing, come see this show.
Miss Braxton.
It's going to be deep.
Beautiful. Come see the show, because it's a great show for couples, for single people, for people who are struggling with life and people just having a great time in life. It's great entertainment. It's something that's like you've never seen before. We really put our heart and soul into this. So I really would love for people to come see it because it's something I've never done before, and it's exciting, and it's a message, and it's redemption. And a lot of times in life, we all searching for redemption. So make sure you get your mind right and your money right so you can come down and get you a couple of tickets. It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, because I don't know what you're doing on Friday. I don't know what you're doing on Saturday, but on Sunday, you're going to church. And when you get out of church, come see God's favorite.
Mr. Johnson.
Well, look, it's the most amazing cast ever put together. The biggest cast of any play of all time, I believe, is the best play that will have ever been seen. Mm-hmm. And it's opening right here in Houston, which is my hometown.
You better tell them again.
So, hometown.
Mm-hmm, you hear that? Mm-hmm, yeah.
I need you to show up because we're starting in my hometown and we're ending in Snoop's hometown.
Hello.
And the beginning and the end shall be good. Amen. So I need the seats filled.
Yeah.
Let's show Snoop and Tamar and the rest of this cast how we do H-Town. You know how we do. Come on.
I've never let you down. Some Rockets, some Texans.
Absolutely.
Some Astros. Mm. Y'all know what it is because I get down with all y'all. Y'all know when y'all come see me when y'all in my town. So y'all come see me when I'm in y'all's town.
No, thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all so much. Everybody just keep doing what they're doing, and I'll be seeing you tomorrow morning.
How about that?
All right. Thank you, baby. Thank you, Snoop, man. I appreciate you, love one.
You still on your shit, nigga.
Appreciate you checking out the Mad Hatter Morning Show podcast. Make sure you share, like it, tell your friends, even tell a foe. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, you can listen to the Mad Hatter Morning Show podcast. And, of course, you can listen to the Mad Hatter Morning Show weekdays at 97.9 The Box, 5 to 10 Central, and download the app, 97.9 The Box. We appreciate it.